Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. These are the famous words of Saint Augustine. He had sought peace in the depths of sensual pleasure and in the heights of the most brilliant philosophy. He did not find what he was looking for. Not for a long time, anyway. But our gracious God heard the fervent prayers of his mother, Monica, who prayed for him for 17 years. Augustine found his rest in Christ. He thirsted, he drank, he received the Holy Spirit and the new and eternal life. St. Augustine is one of the most prominent religious searchers who, by God's grace alone, finally came to Jesus, drank that living water, and found eternal peace. The streams of living water that Jesus promised have always flowed from within the church, which is Christ's body. 1,200 years after Augustine, another famous searcher after God who had tried to justify himself and had failed miserably, found that living water and was born again. His name was Martin Luther. God raised him up to preach the pure gospel, to bring the church back to the pure fountain from which she was born. 300 years after Luther, an earnest young man who had looked within himself for assurance of a good relationship with God and found only self-doubt bordering on despair, was led to drink of the living water. After immigrating to America, he became the greatest American Lutheran theologian of the 19th century and the father of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The man's name was Carl Ferdinand Wilhelm Walther. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." These were not secret words shared only with a select group of his most trusted disciples. Jesus stood up and preached this openly to the largest crowd, inviting anyone and everyone who needed his spiritual thirst quenched. He promised the gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of new and everlasting life that the Lord and giver of life freely gives to those who cannot pay. Living water is flowing water. It is pure, clean, refreshing water. It isn't stagnant, polluted, brackish, or salty. It is fresh, clean, and pure. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He provides pure water, water that brings life. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son from eternity to eternity. At a specific point in time, the Son, who had come from the Father and returned to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit. He promised he would do so. He told his apostles to wait for the appearance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them on the Old Testament festival day of Pentecost. All of the Old Testament festivals were abolished when Christ died and rose from the dead. Christians still celebrate Pentecost because this is the day when the church was born. Now, the church has been in this world from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve were Christians, as were Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and all the prophets. They believed in Christ the Savior many years before he was born of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit has always accompanied the preaching of the gospel. It was the Holy Spirit who call to faith the Old Testament Christians. For the birth of the New Testament church, we look to Pentecost. The fullness of the Holy Spirit's gifts were showered upon God's people. As St. John writes in our text, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It was only after Jesus had accomplished our salvation that he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to satisfy the spiritual thirst of sinners seeking God. Ah, but that's the problem. Sinners don't seek God. They seek substitutes for God. They say they are spiritual. They speak of spirituality. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of truth, who led the apostles into all truth, truth that they wrote down in the Bible. The Bible testifies to Christ. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's voice. The message of the Bible is the message of Jesus, the Savior of sinners. But their hearts are restless until they find their rest in Christ. In our day, the abandonment of God's moral law is as obvious as it has been in many years. America has fallen into a cesspool of vice. And this may make it fertile soil for us Christians who have drunk of the water of life. It also makes America fertile soil for the religion that, while going under many different names and forms, stands in opposition to our holy Christian faith. I'm talking about the religion of works, specifically the religion that teaches sinners that they can, by their own good deeds, obtain peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. We are distracted by the disgusting filth that the cultural elites defend and even promote. Any voice of decency and morality is welcome, don't you think? The two Mormon missionaries that came to visit our home some weeks back tried to convince us that since we had basic agreement on morality, on what is right and what is wrong, we were therefore in basic agreement. I think their feelings were hurt when I refused to pray with them and told them that they worshipped a different God. Opposing abortion, fornication, homosexuality, transgenderism, or whatever the perversion of the day happens to be, does not make you a Christian. The living water that flows through the Christian is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's power comes from the crucifixion of Jesus. The law must be taught. It serves as a curb against crime in this world. It serves as a mirror to show us our sins. It serves as a guide for us Christians who need to know what works are pleasing to God. But the law of God does not quench the thirst of sinners. It may provide moral certainty. It may bring stability to a life that has been tossed this way and that by reckless and irresponsible actions. But the law is not the living water. The gospel is. What the sinner needs most is what religious conservatives mostly despise. The sinner needs salvation by grace alone, without any contribution of his own. He needs the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power. He needs to turn his confidence away from his own moral commitment, his own willing submission, his own decision as the basis of his religious certainty. The sinner needs the washing of holy baptism, which renders him holy before the just and holy God, which sanctifies him and makes him truly a saint. The sinner needs to eat and to drink the body and the blood of the God-man for the forgiveness of his sins and assurance of eternal life. The sinner will not find true rest and peace unless the deepest and most pressing human need is met. Everyone needs the forgiveness of sins. Everyone needs the righteousness of Christ that he gained for us by his obedience and suffering. Everyone needs the Spirit of truth who faithfully gives us this Christ in the words of the gospel. We thirst to be good and we are not. We thirst for Jesus, for he is good and his goodness is given to us. This is not a one-time thing based on a dramatic religious experience. This is our life. We thirst to be good and we come to Jesus. He gives us his Spirit. His Spirit dwells in us and directs us in the paths of holy living. And then we fall. We fail. We shut out his voice, ignore his prompting, and disown what he has made us to be by sinning against him. So we return. We come back again and again and again. We come for the forgiveness that only the Holy Spirit can give us in the gospel, in our baptism, in the supper. We come as we are, parched and dry and so very, very thirsty. We come to drink, and we find that the pure doctrine, the pure and wholesome gospel, is not irrelevant theological hair splitting, but pure, soothing water for our parched souls. It is healing. It is joy. It is the life of faith, but not just any faith. It is the life of faith in the forgiveness of sins, the source of all lasting pleasure. The abundant life is the life lived under grace. It is a life of living water flowing through us. This is the life that the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, gives to us. Until I found that crystal spring, my way was dull and dreary. I looked for peace in many a thing, but still my soul grew weary. Unsatisfied, all things I tried, and yet my soul had not espied that fount of life so near me. That fount of life is the full gospel truth that our gracious God has entrusted to us. Is this what we still want? Is this that for which our souls thirst? Pray God that he give us the desire for the one thing needful. Pray God that the living water continue to flow among us and in us. Pray God that he save us from pride, from folly, and from the siren song of religious respectability. For Jesus' sake, amen. We are happy to have you as our guests on this broadcast every week. We'd also like to invite you to attend the services of our parish. On Sunday morning, we have divine service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview at 8 o'clock. And then at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney at 10 o'clock. And during the month, the rest of June and July, we will have midweek vespers at 6:15 on Wednesdays at Trinity in Sydney. We'd love to have you join us at any of the services that are offered at our parish. And we also invite you to tune in to this broadcast of Christ for Us next week.